Greetings, I'm Bill Klecky, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Michael J. Wilson, who's Executive Director of Maryland Hunger Solutions. And this is the second show that we're doing with Michael about hunger in Maryland and what we can do to help. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here again.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time. I really do.
Glad to do it.
For those of our listeners who did not hear the first show, could you please tell us a little bit about your organization?
Sure. Maryland Hunger Solutions is a statewide organization working to end hunger here in the state of Maryland. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We're headquartered here in Baltimore. But we work all across the state, from Montgomery County and Prince George's County to Eastern Shore to Western Maryland. And we utilize all the federal nutrition programs, including school meals like school breakfast, school lunch, after-school meals, summer meals, and with the WIC program, Women's, Infants, and Children's Program, as well as with the food stamp program, which is now known as SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known here in Maryland as the Food Supplement Program. We don't touch food, unlike folks at the Maryland Food Bank or the Capillaria Food Bank or in the dozens of food pantries at churches and synagogues and mosques around the state. But we do touch people and we do touch policy. In fact, we sign people up for food stamps all the time. People either call our toll-free number or they see us doing an outreach event. And we try to make sure that people who are eligible for benefits get benefits.
That's great. That's great. How can somebody find out more information?
Well, you can find us on the website at mdhungersolutions.org. We also have a toll-free number, which is 866-821-5552.
Okay, so that's mdhungersolutions.org?
Correct.
866-821-5552.
That's correct.
Wonderful. And how long have you been with Maryland Hunger Solutions?
I've been there for almost 6 years.
6 years. 6 years. So that's long enough where you've seen trends, huh?
Yeah. So we've seen trends. We've seen changes in the economy, and we've seen changes in trends in hunger and employment around the state and around the country. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you think is the general direction?
Well, as usual, the trends are in both directions.
Right. Yeah. You know,
some things are better. Some things are worse.
Yeah.
One of the things that we know is true is that there are fewer people getting benefits now than there were at the height of what we call the Great Recession, partly because more people are working. But we also know there are bad reasons why people are getting less benefits. So there's been a disparate impact, for example, on the immigrant community, given some of the tenor of the conversation, the threats that have come from the federal level. So there are immigrants and immigrant families that are eligible for benefits but who don't use them for fear of some of the things that have been said, some of the demonizing that's happened.
Ah, what a shame.
Yeah. There's also a group of folks who are called able-bodied adults without dependents, and there's a quirk in the law which lets them only get benefits for 3 months in a three-year period, unless they meet certain requirements.
Wow.
And so Maryland has done a relatively good job to ameliorate that impact, but from the federal level, we've seen more and more harsh policies like that.
Punitive.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We know that there's no incentive for people to get jobs or to get better jobs if you threaten to take away their food support. That's not the way it works. And so we've tried to help try to deal with that issue.
It basically just increases their depression and increases their unlikelihood of getting a job, of getting a better job.
Well, that's right. And most of them, you know, most of them are working. They're just either not working enough hours or getting enough income, which is the reason they're eligible for the program in the first place.
Yeah. And in almost every case, it's not their choice. They would gladly be making more money.
That's correct.
They would gladly be able to have more hours. They're not voluntarily restricting their hours so that they're hungry part of the time.
That's exactly right. So the challenge is real. So as I said, the trends are in good directions and in bad directions, and we're trying to address them all the time.
Yeah. What's the current situation with hunger in Maryland? And does it vary by part of the state?
Wow. So the overall number, I will tell you, is about 1 in 10 households has experiences what we call food insecurity. And by food insecurity, we mean you don't, you know, reliably know where a meal is coming from over the course of a month. Mm. So for many of us, you know, whether you're going out to a restaurant or you just open up your refrigerator and warm something up, or you just stop by the store and get something and go home and fix it, it's not an issue. But for some folks, particularly folks who are on SNAP, whose benefits may run out near the end of the month, that can be a particular challenge. And that's why they show up so often at a pantry, you know, that their synagogue or their mosque or their church may be giving out food. It's why people...
At that particular time of the month.
That particular time of the month,
yeah.
Or when they can.
Yeah.
It's why people go to soup kitchens or places where they can actually get a meal. It's also why, you know, particularly true for folks who are homeless, who can't necessarily reliably purchase or store food in any way. It's why programs like Meals on Wheels exist, to help provide meals for folks. So for some folks, this can be a particular challenge. And while there is more poverty in places like Baltimore, there is poverty in every part of the state of Maryland. So there are people who are getting benefits, whether they live in wealthy Howard County or whether they live on the Eastern Shore in Somerset County.
Yeah, that's something I think for us all to remember, because the stereotype is that it's only in cities, but
that's
that
correct.
Is definitely not true.
Well, that's exactly right. And to be more precise, a study done by the National Organization of Food Research and Action Center shows that there is rural poverty and rural hunger in greater numbers than in some cities. And it's just not recognized because it's disguised because it's in a rural part of the state.
Yeah. And because the, for one reason or the other, people aren't there. My understanding is that it's often a matter of access to services.
So it's partly a matter of access to services, but the biggest barrier from our perspective is the stigma that's attached to it.
Yeah.
There have been politicians for decades who have demonized people for using public benefits as if that wasn't the reason the benefits exist. Their stigma makes people not want to use the benefits, not, you know, access the benefits. We've heard stories about people who drive to a different county because they don't want their local neighbors to see them using their EBT card.
Yeah.
It can be, stigma is a real barrier. And what it means is that people either don't get benefits, and so their health is affected, their economics are affected, and it's just not helpful in any way. It's a real barrier.
Yeah. And it's also something that when we see somebody using an EBT card, we should be thinking that there is somebody who has demonstrated that they really need that supplement, that
right.
They really need that help, that they're not there because they want to be there.
Right.
They're not there because they're trying to pull something over on somebody.
Right.
They're not there because they're lazy. They're not there because they're incompetent. They're there because they're there and we're not there.
Right. So, you know, for folks our age, Bill, who remember when food stamps were actually stamps?
Yeah.
It's a more seamless process. You know, you're using you're sliding your EBT card like somebody using a MasterCard or a Discover card. So it's not as visible.
Yeah.
And so while I know it is human nature to look at what other people have, I would hope that we look into our better natures.
Amen.
In terms of what people have and what they need. The system works the way it's for people to get benefits. They go through an interview process. They document their own economic situations, their household size, their income, their expenses, and then they are authorized to get benefits by the state for a federal program. It's not like you just walk in and get a card.
Right.
And then when people use that card, they are helping to participate in the economy. They're buying stuff at a grocery store or at a farmer's market, so that store benefits in that local community, all the people who work at that store,
right.
All the truck drivers who are driving the products to the stores, all the farmers who are providing the products. it's the way the system is meant to work, so that people who are hungry, who are eligible, get benefits, and that they use it in a way that participates in our economy.
Right, right. And if somebody is interested and knows somebody that might need benefits, yes, they can contact Maryland Hunger.
They can contact Maryland Hunger Solutions. So I always say, you know, you can always walk down to your local DSS office, or you mm-hmm. can see us out in a place where we're doing it. You can do it online by yourself if you want. But if you contact us, we have a website, mdhungersolutions.org, mm-hmm. or people call us on our toll-free number throughout the state of Maryland, 866-821-5552. We can take them through the application and get them eligible for benefits.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know you have a museum. You want talk about Museum for All.
Yeah, so there's an innovative program running right now mm-hmm. by the museums, the folks out of D.C., and they call it Museums for All. Museums, as we all know, are wonderful places for art and for learning.
Absolutely.
But there can be an economic barrier if you're actually experiencing poverty.
Right.
So Museums for All, and you can find them if you can Google that on their website. Originally, when we first looked at the list, there were only 3 museums in Maryland that were participating. And now, since we've been contacting museums and communicating with them, there are mm-hmm. about 8 museums that are participating.
Wonderful.
And so what it means is, if you go to a museum and you've got an EBT card signaling that you're on SNAP, you either get in for free or for a reduced price of no more than $3.
Wow, that's great.
And so one of the things we know is that the EBT card provides you with, as we would say, symbolically bread. But people need bread, but roses too.
Right.
And so for right. people to be, whether you're a mom with young kids, being able to utilize the museum is a great way for them.
Yeah.
If you're a retired senior and you're living home by yourself, you can go to a museum and be exposed to all of the great works of art that have come through the years. And so we think Museums for All is a great project. And we've been encouraging Maryland museums to participate. And we're going to have a list on our website fairly soon. So when this airs, we'll have it on our website. To be able to look at the museums in Maryland where people who are food stamp recipients can go and can see the art that exists in our state.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And that's a plus there, too.
That's exactly right.
Because that's something that somebody who is getting an EBT that's eligible for an EBT card is obviously lower income and,
that's exactly right.
And frankly, fighting depression.
That's right.
Fighting various kinds of problems, usually having much worse health problems than normal.
Potentially and social isolation.
Social isolation. They need that break. Their children, who are our future, are the children of the EBT card recipients.
Right.
They are helped in many, many, many ways by that.
Right.
Your organization should be praised for that, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're glad that the museums are joining in to do this.
Yes, and good for them. Good for them. People do care.
Yes, they do.
People do care. How can someone help out Maryland Hunger Solutions?
Right. So we use volunteers all the time. In fact, uh-huh. The woman who's helped out us on Museums for All has been a volunteer.
Wonderful.
We don't touch food, so it's not like you can come to our office and help us pack boxes of food. Or sort food. That's important work, and the food banks that do that, the Maryland Food Bank and the Capital Area mm-hmm. Food Bank, do a great job. We do more policy-oriented work. We also do work that's focused around getting people enrolled for SNAP. So if people want to come for one of our trainings, we have regularly scheduled trainings. We can train people to enroll people for the SNAP program in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ways people can volunteer and help us. And if people have time and really want to do some of that, we're glad to have them. They should contact us.
Great, great. And they can contact you by
the email, by the website. We can contact through our website, mdhungersolutions.org, or they can call the toll-free number, which is 866-821-5552.
Okay, and they can email you and by going on the website?
Yes, if they go to the website, that they'll be able to email us as well.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Bill.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for, though. For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank our guest, Mr. Michael J. Wilson, who's Executive Director of Maryland Hunger Solutions, for being our guest today. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
We will try. Thanks.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.